It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Such a pleasure to have you with us. And tomorrow, just want to let you know we're doing something very special. In our 11 o'clock hour, I'll be hosting a statewide listener call-in focused on the 25th anniversary of controversial Proposition 187. It was passed by nearly 60% of California voters, but it never went into effect. It would have banned Californians who were in the country illegally from getting almost all public benefits, including education, non-emergency room health care, and other benefits. It was struck down in federal court, never went into effect, but some observers argue that it had a huge effect on California politics by energizing Latino voters and also doing damage to the Republican Party generally in California. We're going to take a look at those contentions in our statewide call-in tomorrow. It's live, our 11 o'clock hour. It's titled Proposition 187, 25 years later. We've got great guests, including former California Governor Pete Wilson. I'll be talking with him about his support for Prop 187 and hear what he has to think, has to say about whether he thinks the Republican Party's reputation was damaged by its support for Prop 187. That's tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. We begin this hour by looking at a new USC survey, which looks at young vape use. What do teens look for in the way of flavors for vaping? And has that changed over time? This all factors into some areas like Michigan and their ban on certain flavors of vape solutions. President Trump has talked about having a ban on all flavors of vapes except menthol and tobacco flavor. Would that, in fact, make a difference? Joining us to talk about the new SC survey is its co-author, Jessica Barrington-Trimmis. She's assistant professor of preventive medicine at USC's Keck School of Medicine. Professor, good to have you with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
So how did you go about getting young people to tell you what they prefer in the way of vape flavors?
So this study was used data from the Monitoring the Future study, which is a nationally representative study that has been ongoing since the 70s. So every year we survey 8th, 10th, and 12th grade students and ask them a lot of questions about the types of substances that they're using, including the types of tobacco products, the types of e-cigarettes that they're using. And most recently in the 2019 survey, we asked them whether they had used Juul in the past 30 days, and if so, what Juul flavors they were using.
So it only takes into account Juul, the brand of e-cigs. It doesn't look at any other delivery devices?
So for this study, we really focused on Juul. We were interested specifically in looking at the types of Juul flavors that were being used among youth.
And do we know that Juul is by far the most popular vaping device among teens?
Yeah, so there actually was another study that came out today that found that about 60% of high school students reported using Juul as their primary device.
So 40%, so it's over half, but it's not dominant, you could say, because there are others then clearly that have part of the market.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many different e-cigarette devices that are on the market right now that I think for one brand to have 60% of the market share among youth is quite substantial.
So let's talk about the flavors, because one of the things that we've been told is that young people prefer the sort of fruity, the sugary kinds of flavors in vape solutions. Is that true?
Yeah, so previous studies, including some of our own research, have queried youth about the types of flavors that they use most frequently and their preferred flavors. And by and large, so far, up until this study, the most popular flavors have really been, as you mentioned, these sweet, fruity, dessert candy type flavors. With this study, we didn't find that. We queried specifically about the 8 different Juul flavors that are available on the market and found that youth, by and large, preferred mint-flavored Juul products over any other flavors.
And do we know what percentage of young people are using actual Juul solutions versus those that are using adulterated? I mean, we've had this problem with, you know, with the deaths and serious lung problems that appear to be linked to, adulterated solutions, not Juul products.
That's a great question. We didn't get into those specifics in this survey, and instead just asked them, you know, if they reported past 30-day Juul use, which flavors they had used.
All right. So we see here that mint is the most popular flavor, particularly with the older students.
Yes. Yeah, particularly with the older students and particularly among those who are more frequent Juul users. So among 8th, 10th, and 12th grade students who reported using Juul on 20 or more days in the past month, among all three groups, the most commonly reported flavor was mint-flavored Juul products.
So these are heavy users. You said 20 or more days?
Yes.
So these are, because I think of teen users as probably more casual. They light up at a party. They're not doing 20 days a month. This it must be a fairly small subset.
It was actually larger than we had expected, I think. I don't have the exact percentages on board. They're in the paper. But it looks like, you know, somewhere on the order of 20 to 30% of youth reported use on 20 or more of the past 30 days among those
wow.
who are past 30-day users.
Wow, that surprises me because I would have expected it to be a more casual usage among those who were vaping.
Yeah, well, you know, when we think about Juul has very high levels of nicotine. It uses a salted nicotine formulation and has the capability of delivering just very high levels of nicotine to the user.
I'd love to hear from you if you are a user of e-cigarettes, if you vape, your thoughts about the proposal to ban all but the tobacco and the menthol flavored. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Menthol is not particularly popular among young people, nor is tobacco flavored. That's like the lowest in popularity.
Yes, definitely. So the product that is marketed as menthol flavor Juul, Juul pods, were not that popular among youth. But there's a recent study that came out and found that the level of menthol in both the mint and the menthol flavored pods is roughly the same.
Oh, really? The mint, too. And the mint would be banned under this proposal, but menthol would be allowed.
Yeah, it depends on there's a number of ongoing proposals at the federal, state and local level and all variations on excluding menthol from the ban, excluding menthol and mint from the ban or, you know, comprehensive bans that prohibit the sale of all flavored products.
Well, I would think anti-tobacco activists would be very happy to see that the tobacco flavor is so low among young people, because that would be an indicator they'd be more satisfied by vaping instead of switching to cigarettes.
Yeah.
So that's a very positive finding here, because I know the argument is that a lot of public health people make is that vaping is going to be a stepping stone to cigarettes. This result would seem to argue against that.
Right. Well, you know, there have been a lot of studies that have found that youth who vape are substantially more likely to begin subsequently smoking combustible cigarettes.
But we don't know if it's the vaping that was the trigger for that or if it's a self-selecting group.
Yes. And we don't really know what it is about these products that causes that transition, right? There's not.
Well, we
a
don't
lot
know
of
that
info.
The cause that the product does cause the transition, right? Because it just makes sense that the sort of the higher risk taker, the kids who are looking for the sensation of vaping, they would be the ones more apt to smoke than kids who never vape. But that doesn't necessarily mean the vaping causes them to go to smoking cigarettes, right?
Right. Although we have seen in a number of studies that even after accounting for any differences in impulsivity, in sensation seeking, and risk taking, that there still is an association between vaping and subsequent initiation cessation of smoking. And we found, you know, that that transition is actually, or that association between vaping and subsequent smoking is actually a lot stronger for low-risk kids, kids who say that they would never start smoking, that they're not interested in smoking. Those are the kids where we see the greatest risk of transition from vaping to smoking.
If Juul, though, is a more effective nicotine delivery device, and it's in flavors that they prefer to tobacco flavor, why would kids go to tobacco?
That's the million-dollar question. I think, you know, we still don't have an answer to that. And with the very high delivery of Juul relative to high nicotine delivery of Juul relative to previous e-cigarette products, it's possible that Juul users will just stick with Juul and not transition at all. But we don't have data on that quite yet.
Rob writes on the AirTalk page, so outlawing fruity flavors going to solve the vaping problem with minors? I highly doubt it. The flavors they put in vape juice are esters used in all kinds of food and drink products. Outlawing them is utterly impossible. So here's what will happen next. People buy the esters separately, make their own flavors. As of today, I can order vape products delivered to my door without showing ID. I, as an adult, can bring a minor into a vape store. It's only a hand slap if I get caught buying for a minor. Toughen up the laws on the sale and delivery, not the content. That's Rob writing on the AirTalk page. Jessica, you have a thought about that? I mean, is it going to be just easy for people to make their own?
I mean, you know, it certainly could be. We know that there is a lot of this sort of thing happening where people are mixing their own juices and mixing their own flavors. You know, I think he brings up an important point, which is that we really need to work on the access issue and preventing youth from, you know, being able to purchase these products quite easily. And that's a really important target for regulation as well.
Our engineer Parker says most people in his friend group are in their late 20s, Juul and still buy cigarettes, but they only really smoke tobacco at parties on the weekend in a social setting. So the smoking of cigarettes is fairly limited. It's the vaping that's the more everyday experience. You can share your comments on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. And again, if you're someone who does vape, what do you think would be the effect by banning the vast majority of the flavors in the solutions and going to just tobacco flavored only or tobacco and menthol flavor? Do you think that that would make a significant difference in younger people's use? Or do you think that younger vapers would just find workarounds? 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Now, Juul restricted some of the flavors that they offered in stores. Do you see that restriction over time in what young people are vaping?
You know, it's really not clear. These data were from 2019, so it's possible that some of the high rates of mint use were because Juul pulled their other flavors from in-store sales from brick-and-mortar stores.
Let's talk with Raj in West Hollywood. Raj, you have an idea of why mint might be so popular among younger vapers?
Hi, yeah. So when I first questioned my nephew, who was into vaping at the time, he has since quit. He told me that it was because it was the easiest to cover up with gum or mouthwash, because it would just it would be easier to cover up from his mother.
So, yeah, you know. That makes a lot of sense, Jessica.
Yes, yeah, it does.
So yeah. Whereas if you've got cotton candy flavor or bubble gum or something like that, it's going to be more of a dead giveaway. 866-893-KPCC. Raj, why did your nephew quit? What led him to do that?
Well, he got caught, and my sister was not very happy about it. And also, it was more or less at parties. He never owned any of the equipment or paraphernalia, so
okay,
had to acquire the money.
So it sounds like he didn't have to go through a withdrawal experience. He wasn't hooked on the nicotine in it. He was just a social user.
As far as I know, yeah, that's true. He didn't seem to go through that.
All right, Raj, thanks very much. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Professor, what are the ways that you think this information would be particularly helpful to public health authorities?
Yeah, so, you've raised this point already, which is what are we going to do about regulations? And when, there are federal considerations about different flavor bans, is menthol, is mint going to be included in those comprehensive flavor bans, or are there going to be exemptions for mint and menthol? I think looking at our data, a very high percentage of kids who are using Juul products and currently using Juul products, especially those who are using regularly, they're using mint flavors. So, bans on flavors that are going to exclude mint and menthol products may not do much to prevent youth from initiating use of e-cigarettes and continuing to vape.
And then the other issue is for those that are using vape products to get off of tobacco, will they be satisfied with only having the tobacco flavor available? I don't know how well it mimics actual cigarette smoking or menthol, or would they be less likely to use it as a cessation tool if there aren't a wider array of flavors available?
That's a great question. The research is really sort of in the United States in terms of the efficacy of e-cigarettes for helping people to quit smoking. Right now, it's primarily anecdotal evidence. You hear a lot of stories of people talking about how vaping has helped them quit smoking, but we don't have a lot of concrete data in the form of research studies that have shown that vaping is effective at helping people to quit smoking when used in the real world, nor do we have data on the role that flavors play. We really don't know whether use of tobacco flavors versus mint versus some other flavors is going to be more or less effective at helping adult smokers to quit smoking.
Uni in West Hollywood says, I smoked for 15 years pack a day and used vaping as a means of quitting. I don't think there should be flavors, but I think the hubbub about vaping is overblown when smoking is still a problem. That's Uni in West Hollywood. You can share your comments on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Norma in Lakewood, I think, speaks for many when she says, the more I learn about vaping, the less I seem to know about it. Yeah, there are a lot of complexities to it, and people use it for different reasons as well. Once again, share your comments on the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. USC Assistant Professor of Preventive Medicine at the Keck School of Medicine, Jessica Barrington Trimmis. Thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's AirTalk on 89.3 KPCC. I'll be back in just 1 minute.